right. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Welcome to December. Here we are on the 1st of December, rolling into a bye week for the 49ers that they really want. And guess what? There are four teams who have 9 wins in the NFC. And the 49ers are one of them. Unbelievable. Who would have thought that they would be where they are after a game in Cleveland where they survived Myles Garrett? They survived that Browns defense. They survived conditions, which luckily weren't as bad as a lot of people feared and predicted. No wet ball means an efficient game out of Brock Purdy. He does an awful lot just by keeping it simple, throwing away balls instead of putting him in harm's way. A lot of good decisions. Not a gaudy afternoon for Brock Purdy, but he did Dougie in the end zone. And whenever you can bust out a dance move that was the hottest thing about 12 years ago, you do it. You absolutely do it. Welcome. It is so good to see you. Thank you for being here. Like and subscribe to Damon Bruce Plus. I am very happy to let you know we're over 49,000 subs right now. Thanks to you. Thanks to you hitting that like button, hitting that subscription button. We're now at 49,000 subs. We wanted to be at 50,000 by the bye week. I think we're going to be a little short of the goal, but you got to aim high if you want to reach. We're going to get there for sure. Thank you so much for helping us get this far already. 49,000 plus subs. Thank you to all of you.
Oi, oi, oi!
Indeed. Oi, oi, oi to those of you who are in here dropping the love on us each and every day. Thank you so very, very much for being a part of this each and every day. We will be back to normal now that we're through the Thanksgiving week. Back to normal, 11 a.m. West Coast shows, Monday through Friday, with, of course, wake-ups. We just did one with Larry Kruger, and we'll be doing those on Fridays as well, with some other things sprinkled in along the way that we'll be telling you about as we get closer and closer to, oh, what do you know? We're going to have ourselves a Super Bowl here in the Bay Area before it's all said and done. But how wide open is it? You can't get more wide open than this. There are 6 NFC teams that could all be the one seed. 6 NFC teams could all still technically be the one seed, and the 49ers are one of them. Your 9-win teams, 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, and Bears. Your 8-win teams are the Eagles and the Packers, and not too far back, you got a handful of 7-win teams in the Panthers, Buccaneers, and Lions that are still absolutely hanging around this conversation, wrestling for that final playoff spot. So the amount of big games that the Niners have left is all of them. A bye week. The easiest kid to stuff into a locker in high school with the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans are bad. You know, you respect everyone, fear no one. I don't even know how much respect you got to give the Tennessee Titans. They're objectively horrific football team. So that should get the Niners to 10 wins coming out of a bye week against a team that is awful. And then Colts, Bears, Seahawks, huge, huge buy-ins and prices of poker and blinds being raised in all of those games based on how this all plays out. So it is a massive part of the season coming up for the 49ers. Thank you so much for being here again. Please like and subscribe. Thank you for joining us today. And I, as always, got to thank our sponsors, starting with this guy right here, Ike of Ike Sandwiches, something absolutely delicious. Do you want something absolutely delicious for you today? You got it. You got it at Ike's waiting for you. I can't look at another drop of Thanksgiving leftovers at this point. You probably can't either. Get yourself to Ike's for a great sandwich. We all got the holidays coming up. You don't want to be cooking. You're on the run. You're out. You're shopping. You're doing a whole bunch of things. You're going to meetings. You're going to parties. Ike Sandwiches. Have them come to your house. Have them come to your office. Take care of Ike's catering, and your entire office will be very, very happy. What a great time to reward everyone with a delicious lunch at your office. Free sandwich when you sign up for that Love Rewards program. Do it now, and wash it all down with a delicious Guinness. Best poured in the city of San Francisco, if you ask me, at the Dubliner West Portal. Kenny and John have done an incredible job supporting this channel. This is where we've had our Pluse Mania in the past. I love those guys. Thank you to the Dubliner West Portal, America's greatest little neighborhood. I mean, I don't know about America, but San Francisco's greatest little neighborhood for sure. And West Portal is awesome. If West Portal doesn't have it, you don't need it. And you can take Muni to get there. Drops you right off in front of the Dubliner. No parking, no DUIs, nothing to worry about. Great neighborhood bar. Check out the Dubliner. And when you are checking out how the rest of your football season is going to look, again, get to the Dubliner to watch some football. It's a bye week for the Niners. You got a stress-free week. Get to the Dubliner for a little Thursday night, little Saturday daytime. We got 49ers taking a week off, which means you can start concentrating on whatever you want to. Let's go Hoosiers. Let's go win a Big Ten title over Ohio State. Why not? Thank you so much to Sleeper. It's America's fastest growing fantasy site and app. And you got to find out for yourself how easy it is to use. You use a promo code Damon, get a $100 deposit match up to $100. And unfortunately, my Sleeper ticket went boom yesterday because for the first time all year, Christian McCaffrey was not force-fed at the end of a game that the Niners were winning. I mean, he was still out there probably more than he needed to be, but one more catch, and I got a winning ticket right there because McCaffrey, anytime touchdown, easy. Kittle, over 45.5, easy. Sanders, under 27.5 passing attempts. I sweated that a little bit, but that came in under. One more reception, it would have been winner, winner, chicken dinner. I don't just brag about my wins. I tell you about the losses because that's gambling, kids. If it were just printing money, they'd call it investing, right? Anyways, have fun on Sleeper. Do so responsibility. And thanks to everyone for being here. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to you. Again, over 49,000 subs. Could not do that without you. Thank you so very, very much for supporting this channel. Again, the Niners got to feel just great about where they are. How they got here, can't feel good about that. You've lost crucially important players along the way. It has been a bumpy road. There has been some acrimony. I mean, Brandon Ayuk at all times is a source of this doesn't fit anymore. It has not been easy. And that's really what makes this one of the single greatest coaching jobs Kyle Shanahan has done as the 49ers head coach. This might be his finest season. What Robert Saleh has done has been amplified correctly as maybe the biggest missing ingredient that this team needed. Without Robert Saleh, you are not where you are. You are not getting the very best out of Cleveland Farrell and Keon White at this point. Without Robert Saleh, you are not getting a secondary that is really coming to play. Beyond the amount of pass rush they get, this secondary, specifically the safeties of Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa, are playing great football. You know, there's always going to be one guy in your secondary getting picked on, and he's having the worst year. It's Renardo Green. Guess what? Renardo Green's worst year is better than a lot of other corners playing in this league right now. I like Renardo Green. Diamador Lenore is having a great season. That's Robert Saleh. That's an awful lot of Gus Bradley, too. I want to talk about Brant Boyer. Because it is officially time to give the 49ers special teams coordinator his flowers. Earlier in this season, it wasn't time to do that. Earlier in this season, you were still having your Jake Moody ever-present worry wart headache for all the right reasons. You were still worried about what this team was doing to stay in its running lanes and tackling lanes on kick return and punt return. There were way too many good returns going against the 49ers and the prospect of them actually turning a special teams play into a turnover that they benefit from. Well, thanks to a muffed punt and Daryl Luter Jr. just being heads up and Johnny on the spot, they got a special teams turnover. And let's talk about Sky Moore. Sky Moore, you get one of these.
Oh, yo, yo!
And I'm going to tell you, you're also getting one of these today, Sky. Sky Moore is playing some maximum football for the 49ers, and in the last 3 weeks has made two huge game-flipping special teams plays. Now, he hasn't housed either of these returns, but he's getting the Niners down to the goal line. And a 66-yard punt return, the longest of his career, the longest that the 49ers have enjoyed since Ted Ginn in St. Louis back in like 2010. It has been a long time since the Niners got a special teams return like that from a punt. You saw what he did with the kickoff in that Arizona game, which just started that day 7-0. I mean, Sky Moore has done a great job Brant Boyer, as I was talking about with Larry, Brant Boyer was hired to number one fix Jake Moody. And you know that there was an awful lot of pressure to fix that third round draft pick. Now, Boyer had the, he ain't my guy, I didn't pick him, but he talked about his leg talent and how he wanted it to work, and they tried to get it to work, and then Boyer, somebody made that call, it ain't him. That was a tough call to make. That left people embarrassed and having to justify the overinvestment in a kicker in the third round, which is absurdly ludicrous, even if you get a Pro Bowl kicker. You don't ever draft a kicker in the third round. My God, what are we doing here? So there was an awful lot of pressure on Boyer to make that work. It didn't make it work. So then, do you have the nuts to cut bait? And the answer was yes. And then here comes Eddie Pinheiro. And Eddie Pinheiro has been like a perfect student. Just instantly A+. Eddie, outstanding. He gets hurt. So now you're on to your third kicker. And now you're just freaking asking for it. Matt Gay has yet to miss a field goal. I mean, he doinked one in this past weekend, but that counts for 3 points, just like the ones that don't hit the uprights. Matt Gay has been good. This special teams is so much better now than it was at the beginning of this season. Brant Boyer, I see you. You're doing a hell of a job. Way to go. Keep it up. Don't relent. The Niners need what they can get out of their special teams to help pick up the slack that you will see this defense leave out there and this offense leave out there. Now, the offensive slack right now is easiest to see in this passing game. These wide receivers that the 49ers are playing all suck. They really do. And that's not just being like, damn, that's a little harsh, man. They're better than suck. Not really. Like last week in week 12, 49ers wide receivers were targeted and got 8 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. The entire wide receiver core. This week, 11 times targeted, 6 catches, 53 yards and a touchdown. Jennings had 4 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. Ricky Pearsall had 2 catches for 14 yards. And anyone else who caught anything was a running back, a tight end, or someone who wasn't a wide receiver. I mean, this team going all sideways now with Brandon Ayuk is just awful that that's happening, because they could really use Brandon Ayuk coming off injury. Brandon Ayuk's better than all these guys, period. Period. Now, Juwan Jennings, since he can't take the lid off of anything, what I want to see him do is just get underneath everybody's skin. And he certainly did that in Cleveland. Oh, my God. The Browns were bitching and moaning about all the things that Juwan Jennings said, which you just can't say to another man or you'd hurt his feelings. Either tell me what Juwan Jennings said or take your loss, shut up, and go home. I hate veteran, passive-aggressive defensive tackles. Tell me what he said, or don't complain about what he said. Well, what he said was so bad, I can't even say it again. Get out of here. What did he say? Or shut up. I'm not here for your passive-aggressive, I didn't like that, I was offended. Who cares? This is football. I mean, you will not find a bigger group of smack-talking, trash-talkers, F-your-mama group of athletes on the planet than football players. How about this? Super Vega 211 says, I haven't got a chance to watch his live stream in a while, but it's good to see the Plucer faithful is here. Indeed, they are. Thank you so very much for our groups coming in. I mean, it's the same group of people all the time. The loyalty that you guys have for this channel, it means an awful lot to me. Thank you all so very much. And it's the reason why we're growing to 50,000 subs here. Hopefully by Christmas. Can we get there by Christmas now? If I got to push this back, not just the bye week, but I got to get through Christmas now, let's do it. Let's get there. This offensive line. might have given up an awful lot of pressures to the Browns. Most people give up an awful lot of sacks to the Browns and Myles Garrett. The 49ers didn't do that. Nick Wagner says that he's got some stats that prove this 49er defensive or this 49er offensive line didn't have a great game. I'm going to refute that and say they did. They absolutely did. Myles Garrett didn't hurt anyone. That's a great game for this offensive line. Brock Purdy was only sacked once. I thought he was going to go down four or five times. I don't know if Mac Jones would have been able to evade the pressure the way that Brock was able to with his wheels. I feel better about Brock's turf toe today than I have since we started talking about Brock's turf toe variant all those weeks ago. The run into the end zone on the RPO was fantastic. Again, he's out there dancing, so he's got to feel good. You don't dance on a sore turf toe if you can avoid it. And that was just a really, really good offensive effort, even though the offensive line did not exactly make a running game pop, not even close. I mean, McCaffrey, who, look, Christian McCaffrey's so good. He shines even when the light on him is a little dim. He does. Like, you know, you wouldn't think you were going to give 20 carries to a guy who's only got 53 yards, but you got to respect Christian McCaffrey just touching that football every single time he does it. McCaffrey doesn't have to crank out yards to keep defenses honest on him the way that other guys do. And if this team had signed Drew Dolman in the offseason, if they had a better center, I'm going to tell you right now, Christian McCaffrey would already be 1,800 instead of 800. I think we'd already have 1,000 rushing yards if this team had a better offensive line. McCaffrey's shortcomings in this running game, his poor average in this running game, not his fault. It's the offensive lines in front of him. He has got 849 rushing yards and 809 receiving yards. Only Roger Craig in 85 and Marshall Faulk in 1999 are the only two running backs to ever be over 800 yards in both categories through the first 13 games of an NFL season in NFL history. Christian McCaffrey is nothing short of one of the single greatest football players this league has ever known. You know, I don't like talking in such grandiose fashion about anybody because it could all end on the very next play. Then what do you got? Christian McCaffrey, right now, he's got a first ballot Hall of Fame career. Maybe not first ballot because it's tough getting in there as a running back, but he's not waiting around to get into the Hall of Fame. He will be ushered in. This guy is spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Again, he didn't even have a big game yesterday, and he completely dominated that game yesterday. That's who Christian McCaffrey is. Let me just also tell you, I didn't think the 49ers defensively were going to be as good as they were yesterday. Now, you could say that's on the Browns, that's on Shedeur Sanders, that's on some conditions, that's on turnover, whatever. I didn't think we were going to say the following sentence about the 49ers defense in a single game this season that sounded like this. Did you know yesterday's opponent never got to the red zone? They didn't. The Browns never saw the red zone in yesterday's game. The defense did another thing that I didn't think we were going to say at any point in time this year. They pitched a second half shutout. They pitched a second half shutout against the Browns offense, and that is even more impressive because the Browns got the ball to start the third quarter. The 49ers defense also didn't allow a fourth down conversion. And if you think third down's a big down to get off the field on, wait until you see fourth down. You know, Shedeur had that fumble, that center snap exchange. That certainly helped the Niners. They fumbled on special teams. That helped the Niners. This defense played complimentary, very good football yesterday, and they're not built to play much of that this year. Extra snaps to Cleland Farrell. Cleland Farrell has four sacks in the last, 4 weeks? 2 sacks yesterday, a career-high 9 tackles for Cleveland Farrell. How this guy was a street free agent, how this guy could have been picked up by anybody, it's amazing to me. Like, Cleveland Farrell wearing other teams' uniforms, just a dude. When he wears a Niner uniform, Cleveland Farrell is his best version of himself. The Niners have done a hell of a job by finding this guy. I don't want to see another healthy scratch for Cleveland Farrell. He might be your best defensive lineman right now. Great game out of the young Alfred Collins. He played well. George Kittle even wanted to illuminate how great of a game Alfred Collins played, allowing guys to make plays around him, preoccupying blocks, gobbling up 2 dudes at once. Alfred Collins is getting better and better and better, and so is CJ West. They're, again, not putting up those gaudy numbers, but this is better play. You can see it. Keon White. Remember, that was a trade that happened before the deadline. Everyone kind of yawned through it. Keon White, 3 tackles and a sack yesterday, and he's been playing well. You know, could the Niners have done more at the trade deadline? The answer is yeah, probably even should have, considering they keep on stacking wins here. They did what felt like the bare minimum. But these 2 guys have actually been impactful. So it's been more than the bare minimum. It's been valuable adds at the deadline, even though it didn't really happen on deadline day. They made these moves before that. How about those Carolina Panthers? How about those Houston Texans? First of all, Carolina, nice job. I mean, frustrating Matthew Stafford into a couple interceptions, a pick 6 for Stafford. And look, man, I'm telling you, you know, there's been some relitigating, like, how come Matthew Stafford can lose to Carolina, get picked off a few times, and they're not just destroying him the way that Purdy got destroyed? Matthew Stafford's interceptions were a lot better than Brock Purdy's. I am not here to relitigate or excuse those awful interceptions that Brock Purdy threw against the Carolina Panthers, because in the very next week, Matthew Stafford threw some. What does one have to do with the other? I hate this form of sports talk. I hate this form of sports analysis. I really do. Brock's throws against Carolina sucked then, they suck now, and whatever happened to Matthew Stafford and the Rams doesn't change that at all. But thanks, Carolina. Thanks an awful lot. Because of what the Panthers did, the Rams aren't the first NFC team sitting on 10 wins, and because of that, look who's back on the lead lap. It's the Niners. 9-win Niners, 9-win Rams, 9-win Seahawks. Who would have ever thought that 3 9-win teams would be coming in the West right now? And then you got the 9-win Chicago Bears, who got Ben Johnson flexing with a shirt off in the locker room. Look out. Bears got a mojo about them that is real right now. So thank you, Carolina. You got the Niners back on that lead lap. Thank you very much to the Houston Texans. Because of the Houston Texans winning in Indianapolis, the 49ers are not going to have to 3 weeks from now, bye week this week, then it's Tennessee, then it's in Indianapolis. The Niners will not have to be the first road team to win in Indianapolis 3 weeks from now, because the Texans did it yesterday. Thank you, Houston, for removing that can't beat the Colts at home feeling that they probably had until they lost at home. And look, I'm just going to tell you, never overlook any NFL team. But you can look over the Tennessee Titans quickly and see that the 49ers have to win that game by 3 touchdowns. Good God, the Titans are awful. They have the NFL's worst point differential at -158. They're 158 points underwater on the entire season, and they're an NFL worst 1-11. No bullshit. I don't care if the Titans win their next game 65-0. When they get to Levi's Stadium, the 49ers better lay them down quickly. That is a don't fuck around, beat the Titans, they suck game, period. No excuses. Bye week could not be better timed. Just could not be better timed. Nick Martin, he went into concussion protocol, in the Cleveland game, did not return to the game. He's got a week now to get better, and the cobweb shook out of his own head. Ben Bartsch, he suffered a foot injury. He's got a week now to get that better. And Kyle Juszczyk left the game with a rib injury. They feared broken ribs. They did their x-ray in Cleveland. His ribs are not broken. Hopefully Kyle Juszczyk can just rest up here. If I am Shanahan, I'm looking at this team and telling everybody, see you on Friday. I would give the team the full week off. Let's get back together on Friday. You got a report for a little training table. You come see the trainers. You want to get a workout in. That's great. But we're going to no practice. Just everybody go their own way. Breathe fresh oxygen that doesn't smell like football for three, four. Just get the football out of your body for a few days. Relax. And then we'll get back to work. We'll see what the Niners have planned for their bye week and how they go about it. We'll know more when Shanahan speaks later today. Could not be sitting prettier. What a crying shame that Fred Warner and Nick Bosa aren't going to be participating in this year in any way, shape, or form, because the two of them, for the way things are going, God, who knows where this year could go? I mean, look, this year could go very far without them. But with them, God, I would have liked their chances even more. And so would have you. But they've done a hell of a job. And this really is, this truly, truly, truly is exactly where they need to be. How they got here, very convoluted. It's been a painful journey. But they're where they need to be going into the bye week, coming out of it against the NFL version of a cream puff opponent, and then three of the biggest games to close a season with Kyle Shanahan's ever seen. Colts, Bears, Seahawks. Whew! That's a big finish to the season. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. So please like and subscribe. Hopefully you came on by for our viewing party. That was an awful lot of fun. We got my man VIP Patel coming on in here and saying the Brock Purdy 10-yard split sure was on display yesterday. It made a difference in escaping what could have been a multiple sack day for Cleveland. I agree. And look, I am a huge Brock Purdy guy. But I really thought and have thought you should probably stick with Mac Jones based on the way he's playing. And if you can get Brock to that bye week, how much healthier will he be for that final stretch run? Well, they got him out there now. And I will say, I don't know if the 49ers win yesterday with Mac Jones back there. I don't think Mac Jones was built to survive pressure-filled play by that defensive line the way that Brock Purdy was able to wiggle out of trouble enough times to hold Myles Garrett to one sack. I mean, that was really impressive. It was. I mean, the RPO, there's no way that that you see that out of Mac Jones. But thank you very much for coming on in. Thank you very much for hitting like and subscribe. I love Damon's real talk, no BS. That's what we do here, DJ O'Neill 74. That's what we do. Thank you very, very much. Now, what, Warner's in training now? Warner could come back. How about this? It is very safe to assume you are not going to see Fred Warner for the remainder of this year. Should he, you know, ride in from the horizon line wearing a white hat on a white horse and here he is. That, great. Don't expect it. Just don't. Don't expect Fred Warner. And I'm going to tell you, here's the thing. If they can get Tatum Bethune back, that guy's a tackling machine. He really is. Get Tatum Bethune back. Of course, you'd rather have Warner, but you know how it goes. Couple of other things to let you know about here. By the way, I've got a shoulder impingement. I'm going to get some physical therapy. I can't my rotator cuff in my shoulder. I can do this, no problem. I can hardly bring it up. I got an impingement. Nothing says you're 50 like an impingement. So I'm going to go get that worked on, which means I got to get going here. But there are a couple of other things that I want to tell you about. That are not Niner related, but like and subscribe, please, if you will. What do we got? We got like 120-ish people in the room, and we're not even at 70 likes yet. I mean, just tap that thumbs up button, if you will. You get a fancy little football spinning at you, and people do like that. Do it for my Hoosiers. Do it for Kirk Cignetti. Do it for the greatest college football coach of all time. Yes. What Cignetti has done in Bloomington is the single greatest college coaching job I think we've ever seen from any coach in any program. And you can say, Damon, you went to IU, you're biased. Well, I went to IU and I know where we operate from. And what he did was dig out of the deepest well in the history of, well, you guys suck at football, than any coach has ever climbed out of. Again, if Lane Kiffin wins a national championship one day at LSU, it will be thoroughly less impressive than what Cignetti has done so far at Indiana. Because you're supposed to win national championships at LSU. You're not supposed to go undefeated in Bloomington. The safest bet of the year is take Ohio State, lay in the points, because of course Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten title game. I'm going to tell you right now, Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten title game. Until they don't. And that's who Indiana is. Indiana is the team that might tell a team as good as Ohio State is, you're done right here. It's unbelievable. I cannot believe what I am looking at, what I am watching. It is, oh my. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fucking believable. So thank you, everyone. Outside of my kids being born, marrying Jillian, watching the Cubs win it all in 2016, this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. Indiana football. Oh, by the way, if you want to win the NCAA tournament in basketball, you better be undefeated through Thanksgiving. The last 19 NCAA tournament champions were undefeated through Thanksgiving. And guess what? Indiana basketball is undefeated through Thanksgiving. We are a football school and a basketball school again. Holy shit. I've never been happier. Never been happier. How about a little Warriors news? Okay, a little Warriors news. How about this? Seth Curry might be playing basketball for the Warriors before his brother does again. His brother, by the way, is Steph Curry. You may have heard of him. The real biological brother, not a splash brother, is now on the team. We got biological brothers here on the team. The Currys will be reunited as soon as Seth and Steph played together. Now, Curry, with a bruised quad, is going to miss the next handful of games. So maybe Seth Curry can be one guy who shows up and knows how to dribble a basketball on this team, because very few do. The Warriors will be back at it Tuesday night at Chase Center, and good luck, because here come the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder right now are just monsters. The Warriors then have five of their next six on the road as their brutal schedule here never stops. And I'm going to tell you, the Warriors are guilty of hastening their own demise through a sequence of decisions which have just not added up together. But the NBA has done absolutely nothing to help protect its own golden goose. The NBA basically gave the Warriors a death sentence with this early schedule that is officially catching up with Team Old Man. It's amazing that the NBA is so cavalier with its own golden goose. I mean, imagine... first of all, had Steph Curry gotten the same whistle other reigning MVPs have ever gotten, the Warriors probably already have another banner just on Curry's free throws alone. That never happened, though. Steph has the worst whistle of any MVP in the history of basketball. And while that is happening, the NBA gives a golden goose holding on to its last moment of relevancy the most you're going to drown instantly puddle to fall asleep. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying that the NBA should have rigged things for the Warriors, but it's very clear that the NBA rigged things to fuck over the Warriors on the schedule alone. There is no team in this league that has more early scheduling headaches and losses built into a year the way the Warriors have had it. And the way that they have held their own franchise up over Jonathan Kuminga in that situation is just insane. And oh, by the way, Brandon Podziemski is just no big deal. There's not a lot of there around the Warriors that, you know, they need an old man playing his tits off every night to win. It's either got to be Curry or Butler or Draymond. So if you're looking for a little something new, if you're looking for a little something else to do as the Warriors kind of come rolling into the gas station looking for fuel on a nightly basis, can we talk about what's going on in San Jose? Now, I am not about to position myself as some hockey expert, but I do love the sport, and I have been leaning into Sharks hockey more regularly this year than in the past 3-4 seasons of Sharks hockey. Not since Jonas Donskoy days has this team made me this interested, and it is because of Macklin Celebrini. And all I want to do is share with you an irrefutable stat and fact about Macklin Celebrini that means if you ain't paying attention right now, you're doing it the wrong way. It is time to pay attention to Macklin Celebrini.
Go Sharks!
What this kid is doing is something else. He's got 100 points in 96 career games. He joins these teenagers with 100-plus points in their first 100 games. Here are the teenagers that he joins. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Ron Francis, Steve Yzerman, Dale Hawerchuk, Theodore Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, but not that Ted Kennedy, another Kennedy. All of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The other two teens who did it, who didn't reach the Hall of Fame, were Jimmy Carson and a former Whaler phenom named Sylvain Turgeon, who was Pierre Turgeon's brother. Macklin Celebrini is already on the same track that the greatest hockey players this sport had ever seen have traveled. Again, when you're on a list of teenage accomplishments with Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Ron Francis, Stevie Yzerman, Dale Hawerchuk, and Theodore Kennedy, that's holy shit time. I mean, the Sharks have one of the best players in hockey on their team right now. This other kid, Smith, he can play too. They're good. The Sharks have a young core that is instantly more interesting than when the Warriors had their young core. You know, Steph Curry in his first 100 games wasn't on the greatest of all time lists of anything. Macklin Celebrini is. This kid is for real. And because of that,
go Sharks! Go Sharks! And the Sharks are playing Utah tonight at the Tank. Oh my goodness. Here come the Utah. What are they now? The Woolly Mammoths? They're not the Jazz. They're the Mammoths. Go Sharks!
I'm telling you, watch some Sharks hockey if you are not watching. I put it on all the time now. What I really love, the kids are into it. The boys like it. The boys, that you know, they still are like, ooh, what's this kind of, we don't see this very much. The boys love hockey. I got my 4-year-old saying, Macklin Celebrini, but I got him saying it like Ralph.
Hey, Celebrini!
You got Ozzy going, Celebrini! Damon, how are you keeping Ralph's legacy alive?
I'm getting my boys to talk like this.
All right. That's what you need. That's what you need to know about sports. I don't even want to talk about how gross this whole Ole Miss Lane Kiffin thing is. And don't feel bad for Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, this is all you, dude. If you wanted to talk about being loyal to a team, you had that. If you wanted to talk about most money you could possibly make, they offered you that. You decided to leave. So take all the fuck yous along the way. That kid who said, the guy who said you can't make a housewife out of a hoe. Lane Kiffin, wear it. Your opening line at LSU should be hoes gotta eat. Your loyalty never extends beyond the next offer you like more than the one you're sitting on. And that's gross. That's gross. It really is. Today in history, we always start with birthdays, and we got some talented women celebrating birthdays today. Are you ready? It's almost an all-ladies party here for birthdays, but we do have DeSean Jackson turning 37. Should have been a Niner draft pick all those years ago out of Cal. DeSean Jackson, 37 already, but today belongs to the ladies. Happy birthday, Bette Midler. She's 80 years old today. Happy birthday to one of the funniest women ever, Sarah Silverman, 55 years old today. Happy birthday to one of the most talented women in music. She can sing her heart out. She dances like James Brown. Janelle Monáe is 40 years old today. Janelle Monáe's Tightrope. When I saw her debut that on the David Letterman show, I thought this is one of the greatest. I've never seen this artist debut performances that I've seen. Janelle Monáe, the song Tightrope. A++++++++. She really did. For a minute there, I'm like, this is the female James Brown. Holy shit. She is funky. Sarah Snook, who played Shiv on Succession. She is 38 years old today. And Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Zoe Kravitz is 37 years old today. So happy birthday to all of those talented ladies and DeSean Jackson. Today, in 1783, the very first manned voyage of a lighter-than-air hydrogen balloon left Paris, carrying Professor Jacques-Alexander Caesar Charles and Marie-Noëlle Robert to almost 500 feet. They landed 28 miles away after about 2 hours up there. Do you think, I only break that up to think, do you think he banged her? Do you think? Do you think that those two either had sex in the basket of the hot air balloon when it was in the air, or did they land and was like, was that good for you? Yeah, it was. Let's go. They're the French. You never know. You never know. I'd like to think the very first lady who went for a hot air balloon ride was like, all right. You know, not that anyone earns anything, but you know, this is a guy that I'm going to get with. Him and his hot air balloon. Yeah, could be the very first Mile High Club, Jamie. That's what I'm thinking, right? And again, Les French. You never knew. Les French. How long did it take them to walk back? See, this is why my audience is the best. Scott, that's a great question. How long did it take them to get back from the balloon ride? Today in 1885... it was invented by Charles Alderton. Dr. Pepper was served for the very first time at the W.B. Morrison & Company Old Corner Drugstore in Waco, Texas. Dr. Pepper, happy birthday. Doctor. Happy birthday, Dr. Pepper. Do you want to know what the secret ingredient in Dr. Pepper is? Prunes. I don't like prunes. I like Dr. Pepper. I'll take a Dr. Pepper. I'd rather have a Dr. Pepper over a Mountain Dew any day of the week. I'm not a big soda guy. First draft pick is always just give me a Coke. Then after that, I think I'd take a ginger ale. Then after that, I'd want a Dr. Pepper. Then we'll get into our Mountain Dews and things of that nature. Scott, where's Mr. Pibb in all this? I don't know. He's just bringing up the rear. The choice between a Dr. Pepper and a Mr. Pibb is no choice at all. You take the pepper every time. You bring in the doctor. Today in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduced the first continuously moving assembly line. This was a major moment in American business. For the first time ever, an automobile was being completed and built every 2.5 minutes. The first true mass production system ever deployed in the world. Ford, today. Nice job, Henry. Today, in 1913, the very first U.S. drive-in automobile service filling station opened at the traffic intersection of Baum Boulevard and St. Clair Street in Pittsburgh, PA. Come on in. Get your own gas. First gas. Happy birthday, gas stations. Today, in 1955, Rosa Parks said, mm-mm. Today in 1955, Rosa refused to move to the back of the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. And I'm not saying this is Jackie Robinson breaking through, but this is a moment in civil rights history that is undeniable. Rosa Parks, way to stand up. Put your chest out. Say, no, I ain't moving. I respect the shit out of that. We normally do not talk about movie debuts and openings because with this whole segment of today in history would be lost to that if we talked about music and movies all the time. But today, in 1989, Christmas Vacation came out. I mean, you want to talk about holiday classics, instant holiday classics, Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold, The Shitter's Full, one of the best vacation movies out of the very first vacation movie. It's the only really great vacation movie. Melikalikimaka is a thing to say on a lovely... Look, hey, Russ, no thong line. No lines, Russ. Come on. Loved Christmas Vacation. Today in 1990, the Channel officially opened between England and France. Well, it wasn't the official brand, but this is the time that where they literally were building, and then they get to the moment where they reach each other, and they break through at the very same time, and the French and the English shake hands for the very first time in the actual Channel. I wonder if it was, you know, if they were joking about it, they opened up the portal there, and they're like, oh, you assholes? I wonder. Today in 1992, The Young and the Restless aired its 5,000th episode. Now, I only really bring that up to tell you that I am not very far away from my 5,000th episode. I count these things. My very first show on KNBR was nearly 20 years ago, October 24th, 2005. I have counted every single show I have done as a professional, air quotes, as a professional since that moment. Today is show 4,923. So we're about 75-ish shows away from me reaching my 5,000 show marker. By the way, that is 4,923 shows, and that includes everything. That includes Wake Ups with Larry. That includes 49er pre and post games that I did. That includes Warrior pre and post games all those years on the radio. That includes everything I've ever done. Specific Damon Bruce shows, there have been 2,833 of those, with 587 of them happening over here on YouTube. I count all these things. If I don't keep my own stats, nobody will. So I count all of these things. So I respect And no, it takes an awful lot to do 5,000 freaking shows. So Young and the Restless got there. They're 5,000th. We're going to get there soon. Early in 2026, my 5,000th show will happen. We'll make a big deal out of it since nobody but you guys would possibly care about that shit. So we'll make a big deal out of it in real time. Today, and I do remember this because I was graduating in 1997. I was a December graduate in 1997 from IU. And I do remember that there was like a conjunction happening and there were a lot of like dark crystal jokes. Eight planets in our solar system lined up from west to east, beginning with Pluto, followed by Mercury, Mars, Venus, Neptune, Uranus, Jupiter, and Saturn, along with the crescent moon and a rare alignment visible from Earth that lasted until December 8th. Like, I remember when that happened, and I would look up for it every night, and it'd be like, nope, can't see it. Okay, I'll just trust everyone that that's happening. What feels like a waste of awareness, because does anyone, like, does anybody need today to be made aware of pi? Like, didn't you just have several pies at Thanksgiving dinner? Today is National Pi Day. I don't think we need any more pi awareness after just getting through Thanksgiving. How is today National Pi Day? I reject that notion. I normally do not combat national celebration day. I'm rejecting National Pi Day. I don't need to see another slice of pie until Christmas Eve. I'm good. I'm good on the pie front. And I hope you are too. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hitting like and subscribe. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for being part of the 49,000 subscribers that we have here on Damon Bruce Plus, working our way to 50,000. Thank you to Ikes. Thank you to the Dubliner West Portal. Thank you to Sleeper. Thank you to all of you. We're back at it 11 a.m. Tuesday here on Damon Bruce Plus, West Coast time. In the meantime, though, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.